Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of Chiefs First and 10. You're here with JP and JJ.
JBay. I like JBay better. JBay is good.
No. JBay. We actually have a special guest on tonight, Mike from the Mike and You podcast.
What's up? This is your boy, the Mike816 on Twitter. Hit me up.
There you go.
Glad to be on, fellas.
Glad to have you.
Y'all big time it, though, man. Y'all get really rove, man.
Well, that was kind of a situation. I knew him from years ago, and I knew a few of the other guys from back in the day. So, I'm lucky enough, fortunate enough to be able to call some of them if I need to, and say, hey, or if I want to, I should say, and say, hey, come on the show, man. We'd love to have you, and we love to have him anyway. We had JJ on and Willie, and I got a couple other ones in the works right now. So.
Just you know, guys, Mike, I tried to get JP to let me bring my mom on, but he said that wasn't big time enough. And I think that's bullshit because she watches football.
Oh, God. Oh, the stuff I have to deal with. Anyway, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to go over a few different things. But Jamie wants to stay silent here because he's a little soft about this situation, but Mike and I have had this conversation about the referees and the things that need to be done, things that need to be changed, maybe some rules implemented, some harsher penalties, just different things that need to be fixed. I mean, this has gone on for a little longer than it should have. It should have never started, but now it's gotten to the point to where it's just ridiculous. And
yes.
And Mike, I know you're a dual fan and you got the Patriots and you got the Chiefs. You live in Kansas City, but you are a Patriots fan, which is fine. But you've seen some of the things that have happened over the years. And just like you and I had had this conversation about the Chris Jones call being, that was weak. And
it was really weak,
and that could have been a pivotal turning point in that game, with the time that was left and the fact that it would have been 4th and 15. But we don't know that, so we can't say that's going to make or break that game. Okay. The D Ford call, every other time that would have been a warning. They would have warned him before the ball was snapped. For some reason, they didn't warn D Ford. I don't know why. But it is what it is. The flag flew after the penalty, the ball was intercepted, but hey, the worst out of all of them, and you and I had talked about this, was the Saints game. And that cost him the Super Bowl.
Yes, it did. One thing the NFL have a problem with is all this. We as fans don't believe the integrity of the game no more because of these calls and what Goodell is saying. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So these referees – just like when a player calls out a ref, he get fined. These referees crews need to start getting fined.
Yes.
And this not that Saints play not only fall on the officiating on the field, but it also falls on the officiating in New York that do the reviews, because it was still 2 minutes. I mean, it was under 2 minutes in the game, and this is a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Some of them sex players never been, and some of them might not even make it back to the NFC title game.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you're right.
I know it's not a reviewable play, but when you got a game on the line in this situation for a chance at the granddaddy stage of them all, the Super Bowl, You have to make sure the calls is made on the field, and you have to make sure that the refs in New York buzz in.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they should make – when you're in a situation like that, the AFC title, NFC title game, and you're – even if you're under 2 minutes and they say it's non-reviewable or whatever their story is, I think they need to make it reviewable. I think that's something that you're right. The people in New York need to chime in and say, hey, that was a blatant penalty. They fined the player. The player got fined $26,650 some odd.
I wouldn't pay it.
I wouldn't either, because the refs didn't get fined. They didn't get called. It was, oops, we made a mistake. You know, the same bullshit that Goodell came out with and said, you know, we're looking into it. And then somebody had said, well, what do you think about putting eight referees out on the field? He says, I don't think that's the answer. Well, what is the answer? He doesn't have an answer to anything. That's why he's honestly the most hated commissioner we've had in, you know, since the NFL started. He's the Carl Peterson of commissioners. That's who he is.
Carly Carl.
He knows how to put asses in the seats, but he doesn't know how to keep the players happy. He doesn't know how to keep the team happy. And that's exactly what Carl Peterson did for a long time. But
that's a great point, because Carl Peterson also made sure that Lamar Hunt was happy. And that's what Goodell does, make sure these new billions and billions of dollar TV deals making the owners happy.
Yep, you're right. Problem is, it's a twofold deal, because right now the ratings have dropped and ticket sales dropped. The cost of ticket sales or the tickets dropped. Everything, they're losing money by doing what they did this year.
Trust me, player. They're not losing money.
Well, they're losing revenue.
I'm just saying, the TV deals is good, but honest, in my personal opinion, football is an overpriced sport, in my opinion. Like, for the fans' experience, you know, if you take your family, let's just say you got a family of four, you spend $200-$300 at the gate, it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, look what the ticket cost was for the Super Bowl before the Chiefs Patriots game ended. The tickets were what, $6,000 for somewhat decent seats. I mean, I saw a chart, and then the nosebleed sections were up in the $3,400 range, $2,400 range, and then as soon as that game ended, they just dropped. They got cut in half, and I mean, they're don't get me wrong. When I say they're losing money, they're gonna make money, but they're losing revenue in other ways, because the viewers are not watching. You know, when you lose 30% of your viewers, that's a loss. No matter how you look at it, it's a loss.
It's a loss.
Yeah, and your ticket sales go down. You know, then also your merchandising goes down. People aren't out there running out because Brady went to the Super Bowl again. They're not out running out buying Brady jerseys. You know.
Speaking of that, did you know he was still in the top three jersey sales this year?
I could not believe that. I was blown out of the water when I saw that.
I seen that report. I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, Mahomes was the number one selling jersey of all. In fact, you still can't get one. And even with the guys that I know, I can't even get a damn jersey. And it annoys me because I want one. But supposedly I got one coming. We'll see. But you can't buy a jersey. Like where I'm at, the Chiefs aren't licensed here. So you can go and buy you can buy a New York Giants jersey. You can buy the Jets, the Eagles, anybody else you want. You can't buy a Chiefs jersey here. You got to go online. So you just can't walk into a sports shop and buy a Chiefs jersey. They just don't have them because they're not licensed in the state for some reason. Don't know why. But anyway, the refs, you know, the situation with the refs, it has to change, and it has to change quickly, because it's going to, you know, as people have said, this is turning into the WWE. You know, it's just do whatever you want. You know, we'll let you do whatever you want. The little ass slaps and the winks and we got yous and all the other crap these refs are doing, it has to end.
Because yeah, it does.
People are seeing it, and they're getting tired of it. They're getting tired of it quick. So you're right, 100%. They need to be fined. If they're going to make that kind of a mistake, or whether it be intentional or not, they need to be fined.
Especially this day and age.
Yes.
With all these camera angles that you got.
Yep.
For the last few years, the integrity of the game has been questioned. So they have to do something.
They do. They really
retrain,
do.
Retrain, make new rules where, hey, New York can buzz in at any play. Just yeah. to make sure we get it right.
Exactly. And I went back over that game, the Saints game and the Chiefs game. I watched all the coaches' film. I watched every angle I could find. And the Chris Jones call was just, you know, that you and I both agree on that one. The D Ford thing, you know, that could have been interpreted in many different ways. So he could, I mean, yeah, he could have been offsides from one angle. From another angle, it didn't look like he was at all. One angle, it looked like he had one little finger, maybe his fingernail, sitting over the line of scrimmage. And then another play, it looked like he was 3 inches into the line, into the neutral zone. So either way you look at it, that was a really iffy call as well. What was said was that everybody kept saying the flag was thrown prior. It was not, because I watched that film over and over and over again, and the flag was not thrown until the ball was intercepted. That's when the flag really came out. So that it leads so much – it gives so much interpretation to how people actually feel already, and it just solidifies – their mindset of what they already think, the conspiracy theorists and everybody else out there that think that it's fixed and that, and don't get me wrong, I've been in that, my mindset starting to float that direction and has been for a while, but you know, and Jeff Triplett started all that for me. So that dude there, you know, I mean, the guy that has got his retirement paperwork, you know, sitting in an email and all he has to do is hit send. When he left that game last year, when he was not supposed to be refereeing another playoff game after he screwed us in the 13th season. He was never supposed to referee another playoff game. And sure as hell, if in 2017 he wasn't refereeing the Chiefs in a playoff game and he blew a bunch of calls in the second half, we lost that game by, what, 1 point, whatever it was, 28-27, however it ended up being. And they made sure of it that that's how it happened. But that sucker didn't even get out of the damn tunnel before he hit send. And he sent them retirement paperwork. Retirement paperwork. I retire. I'm done. It was that quick. And then ESPN goes and hires this fool as a friggin' – are you kidding me? As a referee and analyst? This guy, he was the worst referee in the NFL, I think, in my opinion, over the years that he was doing it. And then you got the other guy, like you and I had talked about, the idiot that stuck the piece of paper between the flag and the
Cowboys
football.
Raiders,
and yeah. I mean, who does that, man? You're going to get out a laser and make sure that the pole's straight. And that was just absurd. That should have never happened either. So, well, you know what? You made your point. I made mine. We both know how we feel about that. And we'll let Jamie back in the conversation now, because I know sitting there and just he's chomping at the bit right now because he hates all of this stuff about the referees. But you know what? He can't deny it. He can't say it's not true because it is. It's all there.
Well, I could deny some of it, but you know, again, I don't want to get pulled into the ref talk.
I know. I'm going to get you one day. One day it's going to be so blatant, just like that Saints call, and you refuse to talk about it. But the whole world saw that.
The Saints call, yeah. I mean, it was a blown call. But I think that's as far as it goes. Like, I don't think – and again, we were over this before. I think Roger Goodell's done a great job with the NFL. And I'm one of the few. I mean, the growth underneath him has been exponential. So, I mean, as far as what they pay him to do, they pay him
50
for
million.
Us, the fans, to blame him. That's what he gets paid for. He can make decisions. What's that?
I said I'll take that blame, too, for $50 million a year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
He's the mouthpiece of the owners. He does what the owners want, and we hate him, and the owners get to look like, you know, they have no involvement, and it works. Because like everybody says, oh, Goodell's such an idiot. Why don't they fire him? Because he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's doing his job. Yeah. He's taking the flack. He's making these decisions that the owners decide on, and then he pushes them out like they're his ideas. It's all puppets, you know? It's all smoke and mirrors. It's the owners. It's not Goodell.
Yeah, but you know what the sad part is? Is that if you go back in time before he was here and Tagliabue was the commissioner, he was the most loved commissioner in the NFL. They loved that guy. They loved him. They didn't want to see him go. He retired. They didn't want to see him go, though. And Jerry Jones absolutely hates Goodell. He led the march to get rid of Goodell. He did not want him back. He had.
Oh, I'm sure Jerry did. Yeah.
Yeah. He did not want him back. And because Jerry is one of those guys and he's very outspoken, has enough money. You know what? You want to find me because I don't like you? Find me. You know, you want to try to get me to sell my team, which they said, you know, Jerry's on that verge of when he was, you know, marching the, you know, doing the march about it. You know, they were coming up with all kinds of angles for him to be in trouble for what he was saying and doing. But hey.
but you know what happened was?
What's that?
Daniel Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
Art Rooney.
Yeah.
And Robert Kraft.
Yep.
I still want Goodell there.
Yep.
When the other three big dogs, one big dog don't stop the show.
That's right.
But if it's been split 2-2, it'd have been something else. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without fail.
But when the three with three of the big dogs, heavyweights in there, it was just Jerry had to back down for once in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I don't know if he backed down or if he just didn't have a choice. You know, I don't think Jerry's not the kind of guy that would ever back down to anything, but I just don't think he had much of a choice at that point. But you're right. I mean, you're right. The other ones wanted him in there because they're getting their way.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, they're getting exactly what they want. And that kind of goes to, you know, goes back to what we were talking about. The three big dogs, you know, you're talking about Pittsburgh, you're talking about the Patriots. You know, those are the teams that have had AFC championship games, been into the Super Bowl, getting what they want, getting the calls they want, get this, you know, they get everything they want handed to them. It's the smaller market teams that get kicked in the teeth. And that's what it kind of seems like when you really step back and in retrospect, look at everything that goes on. That's what it looks like. It looks like the small market teams like the Chiefs, which they consider a small market team, the Browns, you know, the Jets, all these little teams that don't have that kind of a market share.
Bro, the Jets are in New York.
I know they're
one of the biggest
at.
Market shares.
But
you know?
They just suck.
Exactly. But I mean, so do the Giants. So you want to push a big market and they're not pushing any New York teams. The argument kind of falls apart.
Not really, because they pushed the Giants. The Giants didn't always suck. The Jets have sucked for a long time.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
But at the same time, they still a big market though. Whether they suck or not, they still a big market.
Well, they may be a big market, but they're not considered the Patriot style market. They're not considered the LA market. The LA market's the biggest market in the country. And it fell apart.
Potential market, because their potential actual market is not great.
Correct. But that's what I'm saying. It's the size of the market that they're in that's what they were pushing this year. Because Oakland fell apart. The Chargers got kicked out of their home. You know, LA picked up the Rams, which I don't, you know, I've heard two sides on that. Some people say the Rams have a following. Some people say they don't because they're actually, you know, they were in St. Louis. Who knows? Who knows if they, you know, who knows if they have a market or not?
I didn't mean to cut you off, but here's the thing about LA. LA is Laker town and Dodger town.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We don't even know why the football, like, we've seen this time and time again. The Oakland Raiders, the LA Raiders, the LA Rams, then they went to St. Louis, then they went to Arizona, then they went back to St. Louis, then they went back to LA, then they went back to St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know,
well, wasn't there the Anaheim too? Wasn't Oakland and Anaheim? Didn't they call them the Anaheim Raiders at one time or tried to?
That's before my time.
Yeah, for some reason, for some reason that's stuck in my head, and I don't know why, but I may be wrong, but I could have swore I could have heard that at one point or another time, or at one point or another, but I don't know.
I think the Cardinals played in Anaheim.
Yeah, they did.
And they're just L.A., but a big game coming up?
There is a big game coming up. What's your guys' predictions here?
I think my boy's going to pull it out. The Patriots, 31. Rams, 27.
31-27, Patriots, huh?
I hope it's a blowout, though. Patriots by 50.
Yeah, Tom Brady ain't scoring no 50 points on that defense. But
I don't know. But if, hey, if Peters if Peters and Tlaib play 10 yards back, he might.
Well, that's the truth. You are right about that.
He'll just dump it down.
You're right. You got the light, you got one of the best. You got a top 10 corner on one side and the dead last ranked corner on the other side. And if he plays his 10, 14 yards off the receiver, you're right. I mean, and they better hope to God it's not Edelman over there, because he'll eat Peters alive and he'll run him over, because Peters ain't tackling nobody. It could be a 9-year-old kid out there and he'll ole his ass right by. So you're right. It could be. I mean, you never know. I mean, I see a lot more pressure coming up the middle. What about you, Jamie? What do you think?
I'm hoping that both teams somehow end up going the wrong direction and missing the Super Bowl altogether. That's my hope. I'm hoping that the Patriots, so high on their own smugness, decide that, you know what? Hey, we're playing the Rams this week. Everybody, let's get on our Patriots colored plane and go to LA to meet the Rams. And the Rams are like, hey, well, the Super Bowl's not there. Where else could it be? Oh, you know what? It's in Miami. Let's go to Miami. And then they miss it. And then the NFL is like, well, no Super Bowl winner this year. These two teams are idiots. And that's what I think is going to happen. That's my prediction for the game. So let's say 0-0. That's what I'm predicting.
Well, there you go.
All right, speaking of that right quick, this is what I don't like about the NFL. We can have a tie during the regular season, but playoffs and Super Bowl time, we can't get no ties.
That's right. You're right.
So shouldn't we have – no ties on the regular season.
We should have no ties in the regular season. Yeah, stupid that we do.
I don't know why they ever came back with that stupid crap.
The whole point, like, if your game is in a tie at the end of the game, that means it's a pretty good fucking game, and we want to see the rest of it. So don't end it there. Keep going.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they did it because their complaint was that it was taking up too much TV time. You know, but that to me is ignorant, because – I don't think anybody gives a rat's ass if NCIS is getting watched right that minute.
My thing is this. If I'm a TV deal and I'm paying you billions of dollars for 1 year to show 16 to 20 games, I want every minute of the game.
Damn right.
Exactly.
Damn right.
Exactly.
Yep. And one thing I noticed, and which I didn't notice, and I don't know if you guys did, I don't remember this last year, you know, when they're going to the 30-second commercials, whether it be a timeout or whatever, they're leaving the field kind of like in the picture style deal up on the screen, which was nice. It was nice to be able to see what was going on the field instead of watching a boring-ass Tide commercial with Gronk's dumb ass out there, you know.
Why are you on my boy, man?
I can't stand him, man. I'm sorry. I mean, he's just dumber than a box of rocks. I know his brother. I've met his brother a few times, like I told you, and him and I follow each other on Twitter, and I've even told him, your brother's got scrambled eggs for brains, bro. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. But either way, it's just him. It's just the way he is. He's just kind of – he annoys me. I don't know what it is about him. He's just dense.
Mike, you got to understand, man. After last week, we hate all of you for no reason.
Yeah, it really is. I mean? It's kind of one of those things.
We're not going to the Super Bowl, and that's because of you. So we hate all of you for no reason. There's nothing you can say to make us not hate you. You stopped us from our dreams coming true. So yeah, you're a piece of shit to me. Like, I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
What?
Nothing I can do about it, man. I'm sorry. I feel bad, but you stopped my dreams. You shit in my Cheerios, and this is where we're at.
See, here's the thing. We thought you liked chocolate covered Cheerios. But see, I'm in a position where, you know, the Patriots been my favorite team since 93. I like the Chiefs. I love the Chiefs. And that's the only team I would not root for the Chiefs on is the Patriots. But I was in a house full of Chiefs Kingdom people, and I got on both teams. And I had my Patriot hoodie on, Patriot Scully. And I started getting on the Chiefs, right? And they're like, why you get on us? I thought you was a Patriots fan. I said, I am, but I still like the Chiefs, and I want them to do this play. And, then y'all always attack my team. Then I have to kind of attack the Chiefs a little bit. But then I feel bad because I like the Chiefs.
No, we get it. We get it, man. But you're still dead to me. But we get it. We get it.
You know, the sad part is when I was a kid, I idolized O.J. Simpson. So I'm a guy born and raised in Kansas City watching Buffalo Bills football games because I idolized O.J. Simpson. You know, so it was very difficult for me because everybody would say, why the hell do you watch, you know, you don't watch the Chiefs. I did watch the Chiefs, but O.J. was O.J. And now, granted, I'm 10 years older than you, and I'm, what are you, James 33, so there you go. I mean, I'm a lot older than him. So 15 years older than Jamie. So it's harder. You know, I never would go against the Chiefs because that's my team. That's who I, you know, grew up, you know, back in the day when Larry Marshall and all those guys played. I remember all those guys. Larry actually owned a liquor store with my cousin down in Kansas City in the Northeast area. And so it was just a thing. But I loved O.J. Simpson. So it was just a thing. I watched a game, you know.
That's,
I
mean, that's my stuff around Northeast area.
Well,
all right, if you guys don't mind, I want to do a little exercise with you too, because you guys are perfect for this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hey, Mike, would you mind taking a position? If I give you a scenario, can you take that position?
Let me hear the scenario.
Okay, no, so this is what we were going to talk about tonight. I think this will be a good way to do it, and as long as JP consents to it, of course. I want you to argue against the Chiefs keeping Justin Houston.
I'll kill somebody.
I want JP to take the position why we should keep Justin Houston. And I want to give you each 5 minutes and then set you free.
I don't need 5 minutes.
That's perfect. That's what I meant. I meant speaking for 5 minutes, and then, you know, we'll come to a conclusion at the end of it. So
basically, go. This. We need the money. Cut them.
Oh my God, man.
Trade them or cut them.
Is there a way of disconnecting this shit? No. No, we don't. We don't need that money. We don't need it that bad. The guy had a great year. Yes, he's had some injuries. Okay, I don't give a shit. That dude is a great pass defender. Okay, you're not going to go out right now. There's not a lot of people in the open market right now that can play like he can play. And just because he's not intercepting every pass that comes his way, he's knocked down a shit ton of balls this year. When he came back healthy, and he played his ass off. And it's not like he was under contract here like D Ford. He still has his contract, and he's still getting paid. So he deserves the opportunity to get a ring. He deserves to have another year to see if he can play 16 straight games and be healthy, because he's done everything he could possibly do to help this team win healthy. And when he is healthy, he plays like none other. And he's not 50 years old. He's 30 years old.
But he played like he's 50. Like,
he didn't play that way this year.
Like my co-host, you said, availability is the best ability. He's been injured since he got that big contract. It's just, I guess, something with Kansas City Chiefs and big contracts.
That happens with a lot of teams, man. That happens with a lot of teams. We just don't notice it because we don't follow every team's contracts, and, you know, we don't follow every single player. But that happens with a lot of teams. I mean, man, you know what? Look at what they did with Andrew Luck. Okay, he's a prime example. And I said the same damn thing about Eric Berry. They held on to Andrew Luck for almost 3 years and paid his ass when they had absolutely zero clue if he was going to be able to play again. In fact, his chances of being able to come out and throw the ball the way he did before he got injured was about 15%. We know for a fact that we're going to get at least 90% of Justin Houston if he played like he did this year.
I still cut him, though.
I'm cutting nothing.
Or trade him. I'll trade him and get draft picks.
Oh, hell no. You ain't going to get nobody to fill them shoes that quick. And when you're in a position – that with this team right now, the problem wasn't the talent. when you got a Justin Houston that's supposed to be in one position and playing in one position, and this guy, they're putting him all over coverage, and he's chasing down wide receivers one play and then trying to, you know, pass rush the next play. Don't know what he's going to be doing because Bob Sutton, again, has got his mind on fucking cream of wheat and thinking about soap operas instead of what he should be doing as a DC. It wasn't Justin Houston's fault. Yeah, he's had injuries, but he wasn't. He came back this year and he played with a vengeance. And
he did, but I still trade why he got value.
You know what? He's that. Here's the thing: you can trade him, but you don't know what you're going to get, and you're going to pay no matter what. Either way, you're going to pay.
If you trade him, the other team pick up the contract.
Yeah, but they're not going to pay it all, man. You're going to trade him. You're going to get one of two things. Because of his injuries, okay, you're going to get a team that either says, okay, we'll take him, but we're not giving you shit. We're just going to pay his contract.
John Gruden would take him.
John Gruden. Well, you're right about that. John Gruden would take – if it comes to the Chiefs, John Gruden would take the water boy. But it don't matter. The whole point is – and I think Al Davis would put a stop to that because, really, weirdly enough – I mean, not Al, his son, whatever. His silly-ass son. He put a stop to that anyway because look what they did. They fired the GM, and I thought for sure that they were just going to put Gruden in that position. Well, apparently Gruden's not good enough to be a GM because they hired one.
They hired Gruden's buddy from TV. Come on. They hired Mike Mayock. Buddies. I mean, hired Gruden number two.
They hired Gruden for the job. And, Jamie, while we on this subject – I would trade Eric Berry too.
Oh my God, man! Oh
hey,
my
you know
God.
What, JP?
That's
JP,
blasphemy! Blasphemy!
JP, what? I'm with Mike on this one.
On which one?
On Eric Berry.
Man, I don't know.
I trade him back home to Atlanta.
You know what? You know what my thing is, man. And this is what's different now. This is what's changed since we talked about this before. What's different now is that I firmly believe we're going to win the Super Bowl next year.
Oh, I do,
if
too.
If this defense gets better, and I do not believe Eric Berry is going to be ready to help us win this Super Bowl next year. I don't think he's going to.
Well,
so
go ahead.
I think that it's time now to cut nostalgia, and we're not going to hurt Eric Berry. It's not like we're showing him disloyalty for this. We paid him. We cut him. Here's your money. You know, you didn't play for two seasons for us, and we're still going to pay you all this money. We need to move on to a safety like Landon Collins who can help us right now.
If we could get a Landon Collins.
I think we can. He likes Spagnuolo. He's a free agent. It's a good opportunity.
No, man. Either way you look at it, we're going to lose either. We're going to lose $9 million. We're going to lose $19 million, no matter how you look at it, with Eric Berry.
We're going to have a roster spot.
Yeah, and we're going to lose a really damn good mentor. But you're right. I mean, you know, I can't – that one there, I mean, I'm – sorely on the fence with that one still.
That's really going to hurt is, like you just said, losing a mentor. That's what's going to hurt.
That's what's going to hurt.
You're going to lose the coach on the field. Somebody else has to step up.
Yep. So don't really have anyone who can.
So let me ask you
a question. Honestly.
Just out of curiosity, I don't mean to cut you off, but let me ask you this. So you cut Justin Houston, all right? Then you cut Eric Berry.
You try to trade them.
Well, either way, whether you trade them or you cut them or however you want to do it, they're gone. Okay, so now you got the two main guys that are leaders on that defense gone. Who the fuck do we have that can step up on that field on D right now? Nobody. And you're not going to bring a new guy in that says, I'll be the leader. Ain't nobody going to follow his ass.
Well, I think Chris Jones is the leader.
I was about to say that. Chris Jones.
I think Chris Jones is the leader. I think he's got the team. But I think honestly, it's going to have to go to whoever gets the middle linebacker. That's usually the leader of the team. That's the guy who calls the shots.
Okay, well, let's rephrase that. Who are you going to call? Who are you going to have that's a mentor? Because Chris Jones ain't been there long enough to be a mentor.
No. Well, I don't want to cut Justin Houston either, keep in mind. I want to get rid of Eric Berry. I still love Justin Houston. I still think I think his contract over time averages out to completely reasonable. Yeah, this year it's high. It's too high for what he's worth. But before this year, it wasn't what he was.
Exactly.
For. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Exactly.
So it is averaged out probably to like $17 million a year. And Justin Houston is worth $17 million a year, if not more.
I fully agree with you.
question. What do y'all think about Ragland and Hitchens?
Oh, man, I want them to do yeah, right? Everybody's like, No, I want I don't want to trade either one of them, and maybe that's my nostalgia with Ragland a little bit. I wanted Ragland since he got drafted.
Yeah.
And we finally got him, but he doesn't fit this 4-3 scheme at all. That's why he got traded to us in the first place. He does not fit it. He's not capable of what they're going to need him to do, which is a lot of covering. You know, they need him to cover, and he's definitely not a middle linebacker. And that's where his obvious 4-3 position would be, is middle linebacker, and he's not. That's not what he does.
You're right.
I think we have to hold on to Anthony Hitchens. They talk about a contract that doesn't let you go anywhere, and he played well in that position. Yeah. He played well in that position in Dallas. So you hold Anthony Hitchens. You cut Reggie, which I really don't want to do, and you hope to God you can trade for Hassan Reddick, because he's in the opposite situation. Hassan Reddick is in a 3-4, and he needs to be in a 4-3, and Reggie is in a 4-3 and needs to be in a 3-4.
Hey, you know what? We were looking at Reddick, you know, during the middle of the season when all that shit was going down before free agency, the deadline hit. He was one of the names that came up, you know, from Arizona, and he'd be a great fit. I fully agree with you. I'm not so concerned with Ragland. Hitchens, we're stuck with him no matter what. But in the same aspect, Hitchens may evolve into that 4-3 scenario and play a lot better. We've all seen it. We saw it in the Oakland game. Why the hell you got Hitchens chasing down a fucking wide receiver, you know, that runs a 4-4-40, chasing his ass 55 yards downfield. Hitchens 35 yards back down on one knee breathing. And he's doing an end zone dance, okay? That was stupid ass Bob Sutton. That wasn't nothing else. That was Bob Sutton's dumb ass.
What about Earl Thomas? I think Earl Thomas can fit as safety.
Ain't
he
Earl safety? Thomas ain't going nowhere now. That ship sank. And from what I understand and what I've been told, he made amends in Seattle. And apparently they've worked out some way of keeping him. And I guess that can change. But when all that news broke, I don't even want to get into that situation. But when all that came about, he was going to sign on a Wednesday with the Chiefs. And he broke his leg that Sunday. So then all of a sudden they came out and they said that he had made amends with Seattle. And that he supposedly they had some kind of contract negotiation worked out with them if his leg healed up correctly, which apparently it did. So I don't know if we're going to see him even leave Seattle at this point. And they now, because one of his biggest gripes was the rebuild situation that they were in, and he wanted out. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of proved that their rebuild's working to some degree.
They're doing a reload, is what they like to call it, where they're not even rebuilding, they're reloading right now.
Exactly. So I don't think Earl Thomas is going to be a valuable choice for us or anybody else for that matter. I mean, I could be wrong. It could change. I mean, things change daily, but I don't see it happening again. Our window of opportunity to get him is closed, I believe. You know, we had it.
I'm not worried about it, guys, because I think this class has a lot of secondary talent. They have a lot of cornerbacks and a lot of safeties that are going to go second or third and still be better than the ones we have on our team right now. Because Daniel Sorensen, he also needs to get the fuck out.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't like Dirty Dan?
No.
No, I don't like Dirty Dan, man. I do not like the white missile. I do not like the Mormon missile. Like, I want him gone.
Yeah, he's – you know what? Here's the thing with him. That guy has had – okay – this year specifically was probably the best year he's had.
Yeah, easily.
And it was extremely mediocre. At best, it was mediocre. So I've not liked him since he's been here. He's not evolved in any way.
I liked him.
I just don't think he's good. I think he's too small, first of all. I think he's way too small to be in that position. And he looks like he's lost half the time, and he gets burned so much. You know,
whenever he's in coverage, I expect the touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. If he's out in coverage, you might as well just plan on a touchdown because he gets burned. You know, and like you had said, I don't think me and Mike had talked about this, and I think you and I, JJ, had talked about this. You're not going to see Steven Nelson here next year. He's done. especially after his comments on Twitter. Done. He's done.
He's done.
He's gone. So
you got any problem with that, Mike? Or did you want him back?
Oh, Steven Nelson?
Yeah.
Nah, I want Dirty Dan though.
Well, hey, if it makes you feel better, from what I've heard, Dirty Dan is going to stay on because apparently, who the hell is our coordinator? I can't remember his name ever.
Who are you talking about? Old Man Sutton?
DC. Who's our new DC?
Spagnuolo. Oh, you're talking about Spagnuolo, yeah.
Yeah, so Spagnuolo likes safeties who blitz, and anything Dan Sorensen does badly, he blitzes like a god. He's an incredibly good
you're blitzing right about safety. That.
We've seen that.
Because he's got the speed.
He does. He's got the speed, and he's willing. Like, he's super willing to put himself in harm's way to get a blitz. And apparently Spagnuolo loves that on defense. He absolutely loves that. So it sounds like
all he has to do is just wrap up, though, when he trying to tackle a quarterback.
Yeah. I give him a pass for those Carson Wentz hits because Carson Wentz is hard to take down.
Well, yeah, but he's done that with more than just Carson Wentz. I mean, that dude
over his career, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't mind, you know, throwing himself out there. He just needs to throw himself in the right direction. That's the problem.
I'll tell you this, JP.
What's that?
If Patrick Mahomes was exactly like we all thought he would be at the beginning of the season, let's say 25 touchdown year, 20 interceptions, you know, kind of scared. If he acted like that this year, I'd fully be on the, we need to keep Eric Berry healthy. We need to get him healthy because we're going to make a Super Bowl run here in the next couple of years. But after what Patrick Mahomes did this year, our window is now. Like, we need Berry now. We need him right now, and we're not going to have him. We're going to have him, hey, you're ready to play in week 4, week 5, and then maybe get back into the swing of things by week 8, week 9. Like, we know we need it now. We need it to happen now. Every game's going to matter.
Yeah.
So, and I'm for keeping Justin Houston for that reason. Because Justin Houston, $20 million is a lot of money, but that dude's still got it. He's still disruptive. He grades high on all PFF scales. He's a great run edge setter. He might not get the sacks he used to, but he does everything else very well.
Yep. I fully agree with you on Justin Houston. Yeah,
and as long as he get double teamed, that's a free up D Ford or Jones.
I pray D Ford is gone by then. But
I don't know if he's going or not, man. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I got a feeling that he may end up being a, you know, who knows? He might fit into this scheme.
But that's the thing. We should franchise him and then trade him. It's just Mike, the franchise tag is so freaking astronomical for him. It's like $17 million.
16.5. Yeah, it's 16.4 or something like that. But the whole thing is,
we could franchise him and trade him and get a Khalil Mack style. Not the same deal, obviously, but they're estimating a first and a fifth for D Ford.
Yeah.
Would you take that?
I would. I mean, I would take.
So would I. I'd take it in a heartbeat.
If I'm the opposing team, I'm not taking no first.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing, man. All the other opposing teams, like the Chiefs, have a little inside knowledge on this. Well, you know, the whole league can see what happens, but the league sees this player who has risen from the slowly gotten better every year. Yeah. He's come from the ashes, and now he's an elite force. And we all know D Ford could have always done this. He could have always done this, but it's the injury here, and it's the injury there, and now it's my knee, and now it's my back. You know, I wasn't feeling 100%. I saw him play through injury this year. I saw him shake it off and come back on the field, and I never saw him do that prior, ever,
because
he knows contract year.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to revert right back to, oh, I got this injury here, I got this injury there, and I don't think every team in the NFL is going to, like, be jaded like we are to think they're going to think, well, man, he got healthy. And I don't think he did. I think he's just as banged up as he always was.
Well, I can tell you right now, there might be a lot more jaded teams taking players like that from us because look at the Marcus Peters situation. That's a great example right there. You got a guy that was a top three corner here because he intercepted balls. Yeah, he did the Olay bullshit and got burned just as much as he stopped, if not more. But he was still considered a top three corner. And then he goes to L.A. and he's dead last.
Well, he's come back in the recent weeks, though. He's come back.
Yeah, but he still sucked. He was still not anywhere near what he was in Kansas City.
No, he wasn't.
You know why? Because he's not a press corner. Okay, he's the guy that wants to stay 12, 14 yards off the receiver, and then if I get lucky and intercept one, great. If not, I got burned. Oh well, fuck it. I can't stand that mentality. You know, he doesn't. He made. I mean, honest to God, he made Deion Sanders look like damn James Harrison. He, honest to God, he doesn't want to tackle anything, man. It could be a fucking Girl Scout out there, and he won't tackle him. He just won't do it. He just, I don't know. So here's my position on D Ford, and I've said this a few times. I think what we should do is we should say, hey, you know what? You're in a situation right now to where you can get a ring. You know we're going to go to the Super Bowl next year. There's a 98.9% chance we're going to be in a Super Bowl next year. Okay, you've seen where we went this year. Now, do you want a ring? Well, hell yeah, I want a ring. Okay, if you want a ring, we're going to sign you a one-year deal. Prove it or lose it. You prove it, you get your long-term extension with Kansas City, you got 10 years of probably 5 Super Bowls in 10 years, if not more. Or you know, go out on the free market and see what somebody will give you. Hope they give you what you think you're worth. I bet you anything he'd stick around for that.
I don't think he'd take it, man. I think he'd say, well, tag me then, because I'm going to get more money somewhere else, because I think he will.
If he's that vain, or I guess I shouldn't say vain, if he's that heartless that he doesn't care enough about the game and about his own personal success and not just the money, then fuck him, let him go. But if he really wants to, you know, that's where I see Justin Houston and most people don't. There's a lot of, you know, all the Twitter lawyers, the Twitter doctors, the Twitter GMs, the Twitter owners, they're all out there talking a bunch of shit about Justin Houston, saying that, you know, cut him, cut him, cut him. He ain't worth this. He ain't worth that. The guy's got more heart than anybody on that team other than Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes. So when you take somebody like him, and if ever, you know, and here's another thing. I'm going to get back to this real quick because it's annoying the shit out of me, and I want to get it off my chest. it's really starting to piss me off listening to all these guys on Twitter about him in particular. But you got these guys are not blind and they're not stupid, and they can hear and see. And when you got somebody, not somebody, you got a group of fans that are sitting there bashing you daily, on the day, on the hour, bashing you, saying, cut him, he ain't worth it. Cut him, he sucks. Cut him, he ain't the same guy. Blah, 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 blah. If you expect that man to restructure for the good of the team when the fans could give a rat's ass about him, whether he's here or not, you're most likely not going to get a restructure out of him. Now, if the fans would have said went a totally different position and said, okay, maybe we could get, or maybe they, not we, because everybody always says we're cutting checks. Nobody ain't cutting checks for there's not one of us on this podcast right now cutting a check for anybody. We don't write their checks. Everybody says, well, I'm not about paying this guy. Who the hell are you? You're not the team. You're not the organization. So get over yourself. Whether you're about it or you're not about it, it doesn't give a, I don't give a rat's ass. And neither does the team. You're not cutting the checks. They see him on the daily. They know his mentality. They know what he feels like. They know what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. And if everybody would have taken a different approach to this and said, I wonder if the man would actually just take a restructure or something of that nature, it would have been a different story. But to sit there and hammer the guy into the ground day in and day out like they did Eric Berry all fucking year long, which they just bashed him daily. Daily, people bashing him, you know, about him being injured. Oh, day to day. Oh, God, Eric Berry's day to day. What is he going to be day to day until his contract ends? I got so tired of hearing that shit.
But here's the thing, man. Everybody's not your boy Smugly. Tom Smugly Brady. That's you call him. Everybody's not like Tom. Tom Brady, whether you like him or not, he's been one of the greatest quarterbacks. And if you look at his base salary, he's always in the middle of the pack.
I know.
So, you know, a lot of these young guys, it's like Le'Veon Bell, they want their money. They don't care where they go to get it. They're going to get their money. But if if D Ford is thinking like Tom Brady, hey, what's best for the team? Let me get a nice little signing bonus, and I can take a $8 million a year base salary. Then you can add the incentives in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'd be totally down with that. I'd be totally down with that.
100%. I'd be fully in on that. I think Justin Houston would, you know, and like JJ said, his paycheck this year is warranted because, you know, paycheck, those contracts fluctuate. You don't, you know, everybody thinks, so he got a $100 million contract for a 5-year deal, so he gets $20 million a year. That's not how it works out. You're underpaid for a first couple of years, or you get a signing bonus and then you don't get nothing. You may get $1.2 million for the season. And then in year 3, you get a chunk of your money. And in year 5, you get the additional amount of your money. That's how it works. So it all averages out, and it really averages out to be about 16, 17 million a year is what he's getting paid. When you're talking about Justin Houston, he's well worth that money for me. That extra $3 million that we're going to save by not paying him this year, if we cut him, you think that's going to make that big of a difference to lose somebody that could potentially be a phenomenal ball player for this organization this year? I'm not about that. I'm all in for keeping him. So I'm all about keeping him for that situation. That's just me.
Yeah.
But as far as Dee Ford is concerned, that's how you test a guy. That's exactly how you test his heart and his determination and his will to succeed, not just for himself, but for the team. He knows the last 4 years he sucked. He knows he's had injuries. He knows he's had problems. Okay? He came out for a year because it was a contract year. He fought through it. That's how everybody's looking at him. You want to test the guy? See where his heart's at. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you this small amount of money for 1 year. You got an option at the end of the year. If you perform, you get that option.
But here's the big question is, are you ready for the big question?
I'm ready.
Oh, I'm waiting.
And I'm quite sure y'all probably agree. It depends on who's in his ear.
Oh, yeah, without fail.
Definitely.
And it's not – it's usually his entourage. How's his entourage away from football pumping him up?
Without fail.
And a lot of times your entourage is the ones that get you out of great situations.
It's true. Very true. And, you know, you look at a lot of the players – I mean, you are dead on with that because I see a lot of players that got 100%. Themselves put in jail, sitting at home on the couch, like one of our players that's maybe going to some counseling and other things because he let his entourage get in the way of his success and his longevity in the NFL.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're right. So if somebody, you know, If he's smart enough and he's got the brains to listen to what's real and be a businessman and say, you know what, I got an opportunity to make a name for myself, get a ring. I know what I've done wrong in the past, and I know I haven't been the best in the past, but this is my shot. I don't know of any player other than maybe a Le'Veon Bell that wouldn't want to come and play for Kansas City right now. Whether you're on offense or defense, I would want, no matter who I was with, at this point in the NFL, I would want to come and play with Kansas City. Because you know you got the best quarterback in the NFL. You know you got the best wide receivers. You got the best tight end without fail. And you got now a great DC, and you got a great special teams. So – really, all the pieces are there. And for us to be able to give up 400 yards a game on average, one game we gave up 500 and something yards, two games. For us to give up that many yards on average and still make it to the AFC Championship and barely lose that game, you know where we're going to be next year. So you'd be stupid not to want to come play for us. You'd just be stupid. So I think that's going to give everybody some answers as far as what Dee Ford's mentality is like. If he's willing to take a small check for a 1-year deal, prove it or lose it, then you get your option. If you come out and you prove yourself again, you're not going to be injury prone, your back's not going to hurt, you're not going to have a hangnail, you know, whatever the bullshit case is, then, hey, you got your contract. and you're playing for a great organization for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years of your career, whatever you got left. So that's my take on D Ford. Justin Houston, ain't nobody going to change my mind on him. So he needs to stay, slam dunk deal. He's our, you know, he needs to stay.
Well, all right, guys, I think we're at the end of the episode. Mike, we better give a little shout out to what you do.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm the co-host on the Mike and You podcast. That's what I do.
You know what? It's a great show. Hey, you know what? I like the way you do your show too, man. And I want to give you a shout out too, because Mike has a different platform, kind of how we have a different platform that most people, you know, they do the stats and they do this, they do that. Mike interacts a lot with the fans and the listeners, and he gets their opinions and he asks certain people. He sends me messages all the time, and there's times that I can answer and sometimes I can't because I'm in the middle of 50 million things, but his show is really based around the NFL. It's not specifically like ours is specifically Chiefs. He's more based around the NFL, and he interacts with fans. He interacts with, you know, he asks them questions. He gets their picks. He gets a lot of different things. I love his show. I listen to it every time it's on. So everybody out there in Twitter land and every other land that has something to do with podcast, check out Mike's show, because it is a very good show and it's informative, and you guys will learn a lot. Just by listening to it. I'll just give you that. So
appreciate that. Oh, and they can call the
your hotline. Yeah. Hotline, yeah.
And give us your opinion about any game or any refs or whatever. 816-654-6883.
Yep. And I will post that up on the, I'll pin that up on the podcast so everybody will know that as well.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
No problem at all.
Hey, man. Thank you for coming on, man.
No problem. And you said, what's up, fellas? He's at work. But he said, what's up?
Awesome. Well, tell him I said, what's up, man? I talked to him a couple of nights ago because he had called me, and he said, man, he said, I was wondering, because he was asking, he said the same thing you did. He said, how are you getting these guests? You know, you're getting these guests and stuff. And so I just told him, you know, kind of a little bit of scenario and why. And he said, okay. He said, I was just wondering. We talked for a good 35, 40 minutes. I like it. He's a nice guy. Both you guys are, man. I really appreciate you coming on. And it was a pleasure to have you on here.
Appreciate the offer.
Oh, anytime, man. Anytime. Anytime. Yeah, anytime at all you want to be on the show, man, you're more than welcome. You don't even have to ask. Just say, text me and say, hey, man, I'm on this week. You're on. I'll kick off somebody. we have another guest, you're on, man. So
he probably would. He'll probably kick me off. So you know, do whatever you want.
No. If I had another guest lined up, if we did, we'd have to kick him off for you, man. So unless it was, you know, a Hall of Fame ball player like, you know, Willie or something. But other than that, you're in anytime you want to be, man. That's just the way it is. So
appreciate the offer.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks. Y'all have a good night.
You too, Mike.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for joining our podcast this week. I want to thank Pulse Podcast Network for our sponsorship. Music by Tritechion.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.